This is the Black Progressive Podcast with your host, Jada B.
Hello and welcome to the Black Progressives Podcast. My name is Jada B. I am going to serve as your host this evening. With me is the lovely and talented Lauren McAllister.
That's true. I'm here.
And Martin Law, who is also lovely and talented.
Hello.
So we're going to get into our sort of news topics and, you know, hit it hard. So this week in the news, some crazy things have happened. Okay, and I'm just going to come in hot.
Do it.
Bill Cosby was released from jail.
You coming in hot?
I'm coming in
hot, but I didn't believe you.
I'm coming in hot. And this sparked Black Wives War on Twitter.
Come on, Felicia.
Yes. Between Janet, it's Hubbard, right, who played Aunt Viv, mm-hmm. and Felicia Rashad, who played Claire Huxtable. Felicia tweeted, "Finally, a terrible wrong has been righted. A miscarriage of justice is corrected." To which our lovely Aunt Viv read her for filth.
For filth.
Yeah.
And 100% was like, "You need to come correct on this." And then Rashad kind of came back and sort of tried to do the thing that white people do actually a lot, and was like, "I didn't mean, I fully support survivors. I know survivors."
Backpedal.
Yeah. 100%. But she was doing the "I know survivors," and "I know a black person."
But you missed these 50 women. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Just wondering.
Well, and the one thing that Aunt Viv said is that everyone knew what he was doing back then. How could you not? Mm. And so I'm like, okay, Aunt Viv, you reading her for filth, but did you know he was doing this? Because,
right.
I mean,
she was around.
Right. She was 100% around, but my little ass in the suburbs in southern Indiana did not know that Bill Cosby was a horrible rapist.
Right. Yeah. No.
Right. So what up with that?
what does that mean?
What are y'all feeling about all of this, his being released? Aunt Viv going off and Claire Huxtable seemingly supporting him, I guess.
I feel like she was talking like she was still Claire. Felicia Rashad, Do you have no other personality? Do you not have any other associations that you would like to call upon at this very
moment? Well, she does now.
Yeah, she was just named the dean of Howard University's reestablished College of Fine
exactly,
Arts.
Exactly, exactly.
So she had been sort of celebrated by other black women as the dealing with the fallout of all of this.
Right.
That now the show she has a legacy of is now covered in his, excrement.
Mm.
But this sort of says that she doesn't care, right?
It's a Melania jacket situation for me. She's very much
Melania jacket.
Why do we care? And then we're bitch, you should care. And she's oh, I should care.
My bad.
Yeah. And what's tragic for me is that internal amount of misogyny that she could not set aside for 30 seconds and let these women suck. To be re-traumatized by his release, and she wants to throw, this is the time?
Yeah. So she's got to get out there and say that. Why? To help save Bill's reputation, because he needs the help, because he's a millionaire who everyone is willing to already forgive anyway. He's not the one who needs support.
Ooh.
If that's what you feel, just be quiet right now. You're saying.
Right.
And maybe later. Maybe later there's a time where you can say, I actually think that there were some legitimate legal problems with the case. Take some time to think about it. Are you saying, I don't care about these victims? Or are you saying, I think we really should reconsider how the legal system deals with black men? Because those are two different things.
Right. Yes. So yes, 100%. That is a valid conversation. But she was not having that conversation.
No.
She was 100% or at the very least, she was not clear on that.
Exactly.
And again, how important did you need to be clear on that in this moment?
Right now. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, why was, yeah, 100% right now. What's up at that?
And the worst part for me is reading the comments underneath that are like, just for example, how are you going to get roofied and then remember?
Right.
Her comment.
She opens the door.
She does to all of the questioning that
people do to rape survivors, and abuse victims, and incest victims, 100%. It diminishes that it diminishes the impact. Not to mention the like. Even if he was not using drugs, the quid pro quo of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And that is what she is aware of. So I would like to point out that there is a certain amount of understanding around sexual assault that none of us know enough about. Right.
Right.
Like, we think we'd know the signs and all that stuff. But like, how many times did you find out later someone you loved was actually in an abusive relationship? Right.
Right?
Yep.
I'm not saying she knew that.
Right.
She knew that this man was doing inappropriate things. Like, we know when professors are doing inappropriate things.
Right.
Yep.
We know when mayors are doing inappropriate things.
Yep.
We are aware.
Right.
Because the real question I think Aunt Viv is getting at is that you should have known, you knew some of it, and you did nothing.
You did nothing.
So it's not the, breadth of her knowledge.
Right.
She knew enough.
She knew enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and again, for me, it's the, like, when somebody says everybody knew, I go, hold up. Are you telling me an entire industry knew about his behavior and y'all did nothing? But I do get the distinction between, you know, knowing about the quid pro quo aspect of it versus the, like, I'm going to make these people black out and forget their lives, you know, for a few minutes, you know, and then do whatever I want. But like, it's the like, you knew about something creepy. And also then using the, well, it was the time, the 70s, the casting couch, the 80s, that kind of still persisted. I'm like, it was not okay then. It's never been okay. It's just now that we're not tolerating it. This is the whole thing about cancel culture and stuff too, where it's like all of the stuff y'all been doing that got you canceled was never okay.
Right.
It's just now that we're like telling you
able to hold you somewhat accountable. And I think that's one of the things that people are scared of with this, is that this is Bill Cosby not being held accountable for something that it seems very clear that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It seems irresponsible to even speculate that maybe he didn't.
Like, right.
It seems like it seems pretty clear that he did this.
Right.
And even the court isn't saying he didn't do it. That's the thing. Even the court is not saying he didn't do it. They're saying there were some procedural problems with the trial, and in order for him to have a fair trial, it couldn't have been done this way.
Right.
And yet, as Lauren is pointing out, people are now taking Felicia Rashad's statement as an opportunity to say, well, maybe he didn't do it.
Right.
I mean, what if he didn't do it?
Right.
And no responsible person who's paying attention believes that he didn't do it. I don't think.
He's 30 plus people deep at this point. Like,
but it's a distinction about the drug use, too. And I like to bring this up because it's so important to acknowledge in terms of getting supplies. So the drugs that he was using was something you have to mix.
Right.
So it's not like you buy the specific thing.
Oh, right. Okay,
and you go, right? He had to buy multiple things to put together. That's premeditation.
Also,
you see what I'm saying?
Also, who thinks that that guy even mixed his own drinks, let alone mixed his own roofie drugs?
Somebody was supplying him with a specific mix that he knew how to put together. That right there is enough. Even if he never went through it.
There's also like so much drug use in the Hollywood and in the entertainment industry as well. And in particular, I mean, I'm not going to say during that time as opposed to whatever.
Yeah.
I just mean that it was like there was not a national spotlight on recovery and things like that in the way that there was. I just watched Gia. I don't know if you've ever seen Gia with Angelina Jolie. And
are there people who haven't?
Yeah, right. I don't know if you, but the drugs that were passed, you know, just assumed to like get you to show up to a gig, get you to go home and sleep at night, get you to the next gig and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, he had a dealer.
Clearly.
And infrastructure around him, because you know an intern was fetching that. He wasn't driving to the wrong side of town to go get that. Mm-mm. And they weren't driving up to his, you know, his house to bring it to him, okay? So there was a whole infrastructure around him to get these drugs to him to do the shitty stuff that he did. And so it just... So I'm gonna move on for just 1 second, because it's related. The other thing that's been in the news this week is the Free Britney situation. And so, and why it's related is in some areas of the entertainment industry, there's like this extreme oversight and extreme policing. Mm. And so this is a Black Progressive podcast. Why are we talking about White Britney?
Ooh, because we're all welcome to the disability
rights
argument.
Yeah. Right?
Because there are Black people with disabilities.
Exactly.
You know?
And my thing, and I was posting about this, is that, like, you know, yes, of course she should be removed from this conservatorship, but also if this is what they're doing to a multi-platinum artist, blonde, international, blonde, white girl from the Nowheresville. Yep. What are they doing in different kinds of conservatorship? So being wards of the state when you're an orphan, or when you do have mental illnesses and you're Black and brown, indigenous, and, you know, queer, you know, we having all of these other disabilities on top of it. Like, what are they doing to them?
Yep.
And so they don't have millions of dollars that you can steal from, but they have a body you can exploit.
And that's really what Bill was doing. So exactly. What are we doing? We're drugging her.
Right.
Keeping her on a short leash and making money off of her pain.
100%. And like she kept talking about, like, anytime she disagreed, they would bring the therapist in to evaluate her, put her on some sort of drug that drugged her up, or ship her off to a rehab facility when she didn't want to take those drugs.
Girl, I'm a slave for you. You ain't ever going to hit right again.
Right?
It's really like...
Never.
Ruined.
Never.
Ruined.
I mean, it was never good for me, but I was just like, why is this white girl singing about being a slave? I don't really like this.
See, but, and you knew you didn't like it. You just didn't know why yet.
But now I know, like, further, like, it got even more gross. And
I mean, it got more authentic. And it really shapes how we view female bodies. They are commodified. That she is here to entertain us.
Well,
who cares about her freedom?
I'm so glad.
And my point,
that
especially in like Las Vegas, it's like, that's the last stop.
Right.
So he's this conservatorship.
Well,
right.
I just read that she's only worth $6 million.
Oh,
now.
That's it.
Well, but
no,
she
seriously.
But she should be worth
hundreds
lot
of
more
millions
than that.
Of dollars.
Which means, and you know, her sister, there was like people dragging her sister because her sister wasn't speaking out against it. And I'm like, she has a piece of that pie. She's a part of the trust for her. So she gets like 25% of her income or something like that. So yeah, no, her sister's not going to be speaking out against the conservatorship ending anytime soon. Cause Jamie Lynn does not have a career.
Oh my God. Right.
And was never going to.
And I mean, also, you know, this, who owns the rights to, you know, the performer's labor is, you know, that's the other aspect where, if this is the problem for Britney, what has the problem been for the last 100 years of recorded music that Black people have recorded?
100%.
This problem is, you know, as you're saying, the disability angle is, you know, how many times worse for non, you know, white folks.
Right.
But, you know, also just the, who benefits from the thing you produce? Intellectual property,
right?
You know, is not a concept that applied to Black people,
right? You know? Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Blues. I mean, you know, you got Led Zeppelin and the freaking what are those, you know, guy with the lips, what is his name? Rolling Stones. Yeah. I was not remembering his name. But like just literally taking, you know, Lead Belly's music other black blues legends music and recreating them and being like, no, we came up with this. It's ours.
Oh, you mean like Black TikTok? Go ahead.
Yes.
I will circle back to that.
Can circle back to Black TikTok anytime you want.
But I will have to say, in both scenarios with Cosby and Britney, we're really talking about not only those like primary actors, we're actually talking about those secondary and third actors who benefited by skimming this whole time. And they aren't named. We don't know those people. And that's the part in the tragedy that I hate the most, that like the runner for his drugs,
right,
the people who put in Britney's IUD,
right,
all of those other hands that get to remain invisible to the systemic oppression of Britney.
I think that's real. Is that systemic? Because those people, on some level, you know, look, we all got to have a job. That's how it's set up. I think the point is that focusing, as Lauren says, on it being systemic is how you take people out of that impossible situation.
Literally.
You take people out of the situation where they have to be the arbiter. You know, look, my job is to make drinks. I didn't know what was going in that drink. I could have guessed maybe, but my job is to make a drink. Mm-hmm. And if I do say something, I get fired and they replace me.
Right.
You've got to dismantle the system that, you know, makes that possible.
Yeah.
I think that anonymity is a product of the system.
Exactly. Right. 100%.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
We're never going to know who the runner was
unless they brag in a rap song.
Right. Unless
fingers crossed. But in lieu of that,
I'm looking for that track. I'm looking for that track from somebody who is by now like 40.
You want to do some investigative journalism?
Right. Yes. 40 or 50 who's like, I'm going to put out a nice hot track about the days when I used to run for Bill Cosby.
Well, it would sell.
Yes, of course
it
would.
I'm not suggesting, but if you're out there.
But I'm not trying to hear that. I'm just not trying to hear that. So in the same vein, we're talking about famous people right now. And so just to kind of wrap up our sort of daily news topics here, Queen Latifah sort of officially came out.
Now?
I know. But she did it in the way that what's her name did. Why am I always blanking on her name? She played Nell. She's a very famous actress.
Nell Carter?
No, she played Nell, like Tayin in the Wind. Nell. Do you remember that?
Jodie Foster.
Right? I don't know why I forgot her name. I always forget her name. She like thanked her partner. Queen Latifah thanked her partner. Jodie Foster sort of was like, I'm who I am and stuff. And everybody was like, I guess you came out as gay. But like Queen thanked her partner, Ebony Nichols, and their like son. Mm. And like, but spent 90% of this speech talking about her partner as her business partner, who is a man. And then at the end was like, she said, my love, Ebony, my love. And then she named her son. And I was like,
I need a little
girl,
more.
Girl, did you just
right.
like.
I need a little more little Nas X than that. I need a little more than that.
Everybody, I mean, how long have we all known that, I mean, Queen Latifah has always been, you know, queer. She's always been queer. She's always been coded as queer. And like. But she just never really did the deed and was like,
right?
I remember she was on Rosie O'Donnell back in the 90s.
So doesn't that make her gay?
When Ellen came out, she was like not on the same episode, but she was there around the same time, and everybody's talking about, and like Rosie sort of came out too, like, you know. Yep. It, so she sort of like mentioned it. She was, you know, and I was just like, but not really.
Right.
It was this Lebanese joke.
Exactly.
Oh,
you know?
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Like Rosie said it. And then like subsequently, like Queen was on and like was like, I heard you were talking to Ellen about being Lebanese.
Right.
And like, they were just like skating around it. Right. And I'm like, do you know, Queen, how much it would have meant to my little queer behind?
I needed that kind of clarity.
I needed that kind of clarity.
Because I was in love with her and people were like.
I was so in love with her.
Like, yes, Lauren. And I was like, what?
I was like,
has she given us clarity?
So in love with her. And but not just in love with her as you know, the beautiful woman that she is, but also like she was the kind of rap that I was interested in.
Right.
Because
right.
It was that great like positivity rap, but also, you know, still, you know, just another day in the hood. It was still like, you know, still had edge to it too, you know, who you calling a, you know, and like it was a, I don't know. So I'm glad she came out, but come on, girl.
Give me a little tongue with all that.
You know, like, just bring her up on stage and make out with her. Whole, especially to a black audience.
Grab a titty, man.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't, where can I, as like a fan of her, explain that like you're allowed to do that now.
Yeah.
You've come across enough lines.
Yes.
You've jumped through all the hoops.
All the hoops.
You don't need to do any more.
All the hoops.
You can just let those babies go. Right. Show them to the world.
And like, stop playing heterosexuals too.
Right? Mm.
Like, just stop. We, like, nobody wants to, nobody.
The Big House? Wait, which one was it?
I don't know.
Where she was like, almost dating that white guy? She like came in the house like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Bringing down the house. Well, she's on The Equalizer now, the new show that's like it's a remake of the Denzel Washington movie TV show,
right?
And she's straight on that, and I'm like, nobody believes this. Like, you know why everyone loves Set It Off?
Because you were clearly gay.
Gay. And everyone was like,
finally.
Yep. Yep.
Confirmed.
This makes sense.
Yeah. But I also wish that it was more like a Heath Ledger thing where he was very much like, it was just a love story. I don't get why everyone's freaking out. I wish it was just more like, I'm gay. What's the big deal? Like,
right. Yeah.
Even if it wasn't so demonstrative, right. I wish it felt for her like, it's Tuesday. I'm gay.
Right.
What do you want for brunch?
Like, when he did Brokeback Mountain, where
he
was
just
like, what do you mean?
Story.
It's a love story. It's great. Fine. I'm wonderful. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm a great actor. I can do anything.
I'm a great act. That part. Mm. We're like, of course I play straight roles. I'm a great actor. Any kind of conversation about how this isn't actually an announcement.
Right.
Mm.
And she was so hesitant that it's like, so did you?
Yeah. That's the whole thing is that like it. Sure, I would like it to just be another Tuesday when Queen Latifah plays queer.
Yeah.
Or plays straight, whatever it is. But like the fact that she's been so closeted for so long and so unwilling. And it's not even like she's unwilling to talk about her private life. Like, I don't need to know about all that.
No.
Like, that's not what I'm asking for.
Tell me your love story.
If you're not with me, I don't care.
Yeah.
But like,
you know, like Ebony.
Right.
Like,
why is
she cry?
Because all the white people be doing that. Like,
oh my God, yes.
Kristen Bell and that dorky boy she's married to.
What is his name?
Dax Shepherd. Thank you, Martin. Thank you.
Dax gets a cry, but my girl Ebony don't. I'm just saying.
They literally made a video while on safari to Toto's Africa. With about their romance.
No.
Yeah, it was. Mm. It's funny, but whatever. But like Queen can't do that.
And here's my point. Right. Can't she have a movie where she's queer now?
Right.
Like, that's all I'm saying. Like,
and, well, will she do it though?
Mm. Yeah.
Will she do it?
Will the world allow her to do it?
See, I think they will. I think they've been I guarantee you people well, I don't know about black directors. But I do know there have been plenty of lesbian directors who've been like Queen Latifah.
Right.
And I don't know if I've ever told y'all about my Golden Girls remake idea.
Don't.
But I want to do a Golden Girls remake.
Queen and who?
But I want Queen to play
Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Yeah, obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah. That's.
But I want, and I don't know who I would have play the Rue McClanahan, like the Blanche character, but I want that Blanche character to be bisexual.
Yes.
Oh,
Dorothy would be queer. She divorces her Stanley because she realizes she's queer.
Yep.
comes out later in life, yep. Right?
Finally.
And right. And then, but the her and the Blanche character have like a early romance.
Yes.
Right.
Early in the show because they're antagonistic, but then they end up, you know, early romance. And then they're like, we should just be friends.
Yep.
But then the whole series is sort of leading up to them realizing they're in love.
Oh.
Right? Trademark God. JB. Nobody take that storyline.
That's fucking good.
But wouldn't that be amazing?
Who's going to play Rose, though?
Yeah, I don't, but I was looking at, well, what's dumb is because I was thinking about all the people from Living Single.
Of course.
if they
just did that in my head.
If they just basically got all of those people.
Yeah.
I just reconfigured the show a little bit.
Yes. 150%.
Because it was supposed to be like the Friends.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It wasn't. It was.
No.
Clearly, like Golden Girls to me. It was Black Golden Girls to me.
Mm. Ooh, Black Gold. That's the name.
Oh my God. Copyright. So okay, that's all we have time for. Martin, thank you so much for being here. I love what you have to say and all the good stuff that you bring to the table. And Lauren, thank you so much for being here and the wonderful energy that you bring to every conversation. Join us next time on the Black Progressives Podcast.